Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hey, what's going on? I'm just sitting here looking like a bum again with the dogs, Mother Mary, and you. And this all came about because I've seen now three episodes where people run onto the basketball court screaming and yelling. One lady glued her hand to the floor. The other lady chained herself to the thing. And now the latest one, some hot chick goes running out on the court. And then this is the security guard tackles her. It was unbelievable. What's going on with that? Well, they're protesting the death of 5.3 million chickens. This is all I knew going into this. 5.3 million chickens died at like a chicken factory. Do they call them chicken factory? I don't even know. Anyway, Glenn Taylor is the guy who owns the Minnesota Timberwolves. So at all these Minnesota Timberwolves basketball games, these people are running out on the court. And so most people are like, who are these terrorist lunatics? Me included. But then I was like, well, I'd kind of like to know more of what's going on here. So I sent an email out. First of all, I found out who was responsible for this. It's an organization called Direct Action Everywhere. Now, full disclosure, they do some crazy shit at like restaurants where they think there's a problem. That's in a nutshell. Like, go into the restaurant and disrupt shit. That's what they're known for, disrupting shit. So I was like, I need to know more about this. So I reached out to the folks over there, and I go, look, I'm kind of a jerk, but I'll give you a fair shot. Why don't you tell me what you're trying to do here? I'll bite. I will talk to you. Are you interested? I invited them on. And so John Frohnmayer, who is an attorney, organizer and attorney on the legal team for Direct Action Everywhere, and a nice lady by the name, and John's nice too, and a nice lady by the name of Dr. Crystal Heath. She is a veterinarian and founder of another nonprofit called Our Honor. So these are animal rights activists on the Eric Zane Show podcast. And basically, I just wanted to ask questions, doing the old Joe Rogan. I'm just asking questions and see, where they're coming from. So you may agree, you may not agree. I don't care. I just thought it was something you might be interested in. So here it is. My discussion with John Frohnmayer and Dr. Crystal Heath, who are affiliated with Direct Action Everywhere. Okay, so welcome. Thank you for doing this. Full disclosure, I was like, who are these crazy people? What are they doing? What's going on here? And I think, kind of let the ends justify the means, because here we are. And I did, is this what you need to do nowadays to be heard?
Well, when you do kind of a disruptive action, it's It's pretty hard to include the entire message in what you're doing. And so part of the process is afterwards having conversations like these and responding to folks who are curious. But I mean, in general, I would say I do think disruptions are necessary. Our group has been doing investigations for years and years. We did an investigation of Rembrandt Farms owned by Glenn Taylor, and we released it, and it got some attention, but not much. And since these three women have done these disruptions, the message has been amplified, you know, many orders of magnitude. So, you know, it you know, for better or for worse, I think it does work.
I didn't know what direct action was, and now I know the website. I've taken a look. I'm talking to you, and I figured, you know, it's worth a little bit of looking into. So
we appreciate that, Eric.
Yeah, you know, and I was honest with you. I was like, who are these crazy people? This is nuts, you know. And I think a lot of people say that. Do you think is this better for you? Is there good and bad with this, that and these people doing this on the basketball courts? I mean, is there some negative that you hate?
Well, Crystal, do you want to answer that? Because I know you're more ambivalent about disruptions in general.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a veterinarian, but I've been trying so hard to raise awareness about ventilation shutdown. It being used in our food system, I've had over 1,500 veterinarians sign on to Veterinarians Against Ventilation Shutdown, VAVSD.org. And we've tried to get the AVMA to address this issue and get producers to develop alternatives, especially before they repopulate. And we've been trying to raise awareness in the media about this and put some pressure on the AVMA and these producers to develop alternative methods that aren't so cruel to their animals. And we've been getting nowhere. And then DXC does their thing. And all of a sudden, everybody's reaching out to me and asking for interviews and wanting to learn more about ventilation shutdown and what are the alternatives and, you know, what can we do moving forward? And we're really having these deep conversations that we weren't able to have before this crazy action took place. So, yeah, I think it's a big win, actually.
So for me at home, all I hear is Glenn Taylor had to euthanize or put down 5.3 million chickens because of avian bird flu. Is that part correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then when I talked about it on my show, I was like, well, what do these wackos think? What is he supposed to do? How else is he supposed to do it? Are you telling me there is a way that's, because I mean, that's a lot of birds. Is it? Because a lot of people just think, well, there's no other way to do it. Is there no other way to do it?
So, yeah, 7 years ago, he did the same thing with 5.5 million of his birds were killed, and he got $11.3 million in taxpayer money for depopulating his birds via this way. We knew that avian flu was going to happen again. It was inevitable, and they didn't put in and supply stockpile so the supplies needed to do it in a better way. And certainly there's no humane way to kill this many birds, but there are alternatives. There are preferred methods. And it's especially hard using these cage systems that he has in place. And really he should have used this opportunity and our taxpayer dollars to develop a cage-free system, a more humane system, instead of relying on these outmoded systems. But really, like, when we start having these conversations, it's like, what is the problem we are trying to solve here? Is it killing? How do we best kill 5 million animals? Or should we be putting our resources and energy into preventing the need to kill this many animals and really looking at our systems and asking, should we be warehousing 5 million chickens in this way? And maybe we should develop a kinder food system, one that doesn't mean that human beings have to commit these mass atrocities.
Why and don't you? Also couldn't you make something that's better for them that would be as effective cost-wise and You know what I mean? Is it, or are you just saying you go do it, you can do better?
No. Yeah, there are alternative methods for sure. But we have to look at the pragmatic approach. Okay, before he's able to repopulate these birds, he needs to put in a method in place. And one of those methods are high expansion foam filled with CO2 or N2 that causes unconsciousness between 1 to 30 seconds. And death within 3 minutes. It cannot be used in the cage system he has, so he has to change that system. But using our taxpayer dollars, which he's going to be getting, he should change his business model to that. But he is in a high-risk business model that, of course, the taxpayers are supporting. They're not allowing him to take on the business risk that is inherent in this business model. And we really start to have to wonder, should the taxpayers be funding billionaires to rely and depend on and perpetuate an inherently risky business model that could very much lead to the next pandemic in human beings? Because avian flu could potentially create the next pandemic among humans. And that has been shown with flus in the past. Influenza virus outbreaks in the past. And that future is coming. And we really have to look at, like, what are we doing here? So the pragmatic approach is, yes, there is an alternative method using high expansion foam. But long term, we really have to look to the future and our structures in place that allow billionaires to commit these mass atrocities on innocent animals and that pose a threat to public health, too.
Ultimately, if they weren't using chickens for food, that would be great, right? Is that, I mean, are you thinking like that? Or are you thinking that you know full well that that's never going to happen? I mean, where's the mindset of the group?
I mean, we disagree that that's not going to happen. You think about the changes that have happened throughout history. But right now, when we're killing this many birds, you know, there's this brilliant op-ed by our friend Susanna Soto in the San Francisco Chronicle, where she was actually a slaughterhouse worker, and she had to kill 700 to 800 chickens during her 4-hour shift at the slaughterhouse. And she talks about the mental toll that that takes. Slaughterhouse workers face one of the most dangerous professions in the United States. These are people from marginalized communities being exploited by billionaires like Glenn Taylor. And, you know, our food system does not have to rely on that for the rest of eternity. There are alternatives being developed, and we can get all of the nutrients we need from plants. And John can talk about, you know, how social change has happened in the past and how we hope that our food system can be transformed and revolutionized so that we don't have this much suffering on the planet.
John, before you get to that, let me ask you this, guys,
sure.
Because I mean, with the clothes we wear, I mean, of animals affect nearly everything that is around us.
Right.
I mean, do you sometimes run the risk of any type of being labeled as a hypocrite because, you know, you might be utilizing the food chain to some degree? Maybe more than others, maybe less than others, but how does that play with the group?
Well, yeah, I mean, Eric, that's a good question. And you're right. I am a hypocrite. I think to an extent, every single one of us is, because we were all born into this system that prior generations created that is so heavily dependent on animal exploitation. I mean, even if you don't eat any animal flesh, the fact is when you eat kale or broccoli or spinach or anything, animals were killed in the process of creating that food. Voles were ground to death in tilling. I don't think that is a reason to give up on creating change. I think it should be motivation to change the system as a whole. Our group, one of the things that makes us unique, at least in the beginning, and I think this is increasingly the case in the animal rights movement, is that we de-emphasize individual consumer change and we try to look at changing the system as a whole. And so the big part of this protest and kind of what we have been emphasizing in our press releases, which a lot of media outlets have talked about, is what Crystal said, which is the subsidies. The fact of the matter, the fact that these companies, these mass animal exploitation facilities, can only exist because you, Eric, and me, and Crystal, and everybody who's listening to this pay for it, right? Because you've got all these birds who are crammed into these facilities together. It's an extremely chaotic environment. They're all immunosuppressed, and outbreaks are inevitable. And when they happen and these mass killings have to happen, it doesn't affect the business because then they just go to the USDA, which is captured by all of the major animal exploitation companies, Smithfields, Tyson's, et cetera, and they get compensated for it. And so just one aspect of the system that we're trying to change is these subsidies. Because if we can stop subsidizing these industries and we can start subsidizing plant-based, veganic, you know, regenerative permaculture, then that change will then flow through to the consumers, and then we'll have a sustainable model.
Hey friends, it's your pal EZ with my latest and greatest marketing partner, Mint Mobile. I know a lot of you have been through the ringer when it comes to costs with big wireless. As you know, what you see is never what you get. You ever have that happen where you get in there and you're like, okay, they're like, you're going to get this, this, and this, and this, and then you pay us this. And you go, oh, yeah. And then, like, you get the bill and you're like, what the hell just happened? It's like bait and switch. And then you call in and you realize that you're screwed. So you're like, oh, my God, I might as well just keep overpaying for this. Never again. Enter Mint Mobile. You never have to worry about the gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month, when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. I've done this. You should too. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to the rescue with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. My God! To get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month and give the other guys the big heave-ho. mintmobile.com/Zane. All right, fine print time. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to the $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Trying to produce high quality content as a business owner probably seems impossible right now with how busy you are. You probably have ideas, but you're burnt out and you just don't have the time, resources, or manpower to actually create ongoing high quality content. Freelancers are undependable, the employees you can afford are inexperienced, and agencies are way too expensive. So what's the solution? Breezy Content is a subscription that matches you with your very own content marketing team that will do everything from the strategy and planning of content to the writing, designing, and publishing of it. We handle everything from social media content to blog writing, SEO-friendly content for your website, and even lead generation pieces. We have multiple research methodologies that we use, including interviews, questionnaires, and more, to make sure that all of the content we create for you is custom, high quality, and will actually move the needle for your business. Don't believe me? I get it. See what our real customers are saying. If you're interested in learning more, book a call today. To learn how to create ongoing content when you don't have time to, visit makecontent.today for our free guide.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense. And I appreciate you guys for talking on my level, because I sometimes words bounce off me, and you're doing a great job. Let me ask you this. Like a lot of people I know go out and they'll harvest a deer or elk, mm-hmm. and they'll utilize the animal and use the meat, even use the hide or something like that.
Right.
Does that seem sustainable? I mean, because I know that a lot of conservation officers, they're looking at deer populations and looking at numbers and chronic wasting disease. And they describe that if the population isn't isn't harvested the way it should be by the hunters, or could lead to more problems. There's the balance involved. I'm sure you've all heard this before. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. So what we found whenever humans try to kind of take control over a habitat by killing off some of the species, I mean, hunting is definitely a preferred alternative to factory farming. Unfortunately, there's just not enough land on planet Earth to feed people their current levels of meat consumption in a hunting model. But another problem with hunting is usually when you hunt, you end up killing off kind of the younger, or no, sorry, kind of the older animals who really help preserve an ecosystem. And when you kill off those older animals, a lot of younger animals come in. You have an actually increase in population that is detrimental to the environment. It kind of throws everything off. They overgraze. It disrupts the delicate balance that nature had made. So whenever you have human influence, we always end up messing it up instead of really helping out. And this has been shown time and time again. One book I really loved was This Land by Christopher Ketchum, which really kind of describes how this happens. But yeah, John, do you have any comments on that?
No, yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, I think the only thing that I would add is the missing piece from the underlying philosophy of trying to intervene in wild animal populations is just seeing those animals as individuals. And I think that's because our society conditions us to not perceive animals as individual, non-human animals, rather, because human beings are animals also, as individuals who have their own lives and their own families. And so like when people go, you know, I agree with Crystal, it is a preferred method to hunt than to factory farm. But at the end of the day, you're still killing an individual who has their own life and their own family. Maybe there are other animals who are now going to die also that you never even see because they were dependent on the animal that you just, whom you just killed. And so,
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, just you're out there in nature and you see this beautiful deer. Don't you just want to enjoy them? We don't have to eat meat. We know this. We have alternatives and we have wonderful whole food plant-based meals that we can eat that are healthy and give us everything we need. There's no need to inflict violence on another living being who's out there peacefully enjoying the world and nature. And I think that does something to us when we kill somebody needlessly like that.
Yeah.
Your website, Direct Action Everywhere, it says until every animal is free. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
What it means is we're trying to create a world where it's the norm that people treat animals with compassion and that we don't exploit animals. We don't confine them. We don't mutilate them. We don't kill them. We don't take them away from their babies or their mothers. And we have like a mutualistic relationship with non-human animals. So I guess what I should clarify what I mean. The way that I think about this is like in biological terms, when you look at the relationships among species on Earth, you classify them as mutualistic, where both species benefit, as a commensalism, where one species benefits and the other is not affected, and parasitism, where one species benefits and the other's harmed. And when you look at the relationship that human beings have with all other animals on the planet, save for maybe dogs and cats, it's a parasitic relationship, right? And the problem with parasitism is that oftentimes parasites kill their host, right? And the relationship that human beings have, not just with other animals, but with the planet itself, is a parasitic one. And we are killing the Earth. And what is driving the destruction of life on the planet, of the biosphere, is animal exploitation. And one very clear example of this is that 80 to 90% of the deforestation of the Amazon rainforest is caused by cattle ranchers. It's actually not the timber companies. It's not the strip miners. It's not the oil and gas companies. It's people who are exploiting cows.
See.
And there's an underlying philosophy that's similar between people who destroy the planet and people who kill animals. In both cases, it's the idea of being feeling free to extract money from someone else or something else, regardless of what other costs that creates for them or for others. So does that make sense? That's a, I don't know.
No, it does. It does. And I, the reason why I brought it up is, you know, I'm getting an idea of where you are, mm-hmm. and how, you know, kind of like the basis for the group. And I, that's why I brought you on here.
Totally.
And when I saw till all the animals are free, I'm sorry, I'm screwing that up. Until every animal is free, I'm like, does that mean they don't like it that I have a dog?
I have a dog. My wife rescued a dog from Bangalore, and we love him very much.
Okay,
Because
you know, no. there are people who don't like it that someone has a dog, you know, and that does exist. So that's kind of what I wanted to get at. Now, also on your website, you said that you guys don't have anything to do with violence. And you know, the lady glued her hand on there, which, you know, did her hand actually stick on the court? You know what I mean? Cause they put, they got her out of there quickly. And then the second lady chained herself. It's funny. Cause I watched the first lady put her hand on the court, and I was on this show. I said, they're doing it all wrong. Someone needs to chain themselves to the thing. And then someone sent me an email and said, you called it. Cause
you made it happen.
But, you know, whatever. Okay. Now this third lady, she jumped right over Glenn Taylor, and she didn't really make any contact or anything like that. But is this starting to get more heated, do you think? There was a security guard right next to her, and he had his eye on her. That's why he was so, I mean, he knew it. I mean, what's next for you guys? John with legal counsel, are they going to pick your brain? Say, hey, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think nonviolent doesn't necessarily mean that we're nice all the time and that we're not sometimes a huge pain in the ass. I think we do these things, you know, because we're trying to achieve an objective on behalf of beings we feel are being victimized. But I think that we all have an idea of what like a violent movement looks like. And that's not who we are. That's not the way that we want to go about creating change in the world. Right. Because I mean, we want our tactics to reflect the world that we ultimately want to create. And the world we want to create is a nonviolent world. That's one where people don't hurt other human beings, in addition to not hurting the environment or other animals.
Did you know any of those three ladies?
I know all of them. I've been friends with them for years.
So is it like you wake up and check your phone? You're like, uh-oh, something else has happened.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I was pretty surprised. I had no idea that this was in the works, and I was like, okay, all right, we're doing it. So I'm going to jump on Twitter and start explaining what's going on and talking about what's going on with animals.
Okay. That's Bruce behind me. He's a French bulldog. He's sound asleep. It's night time.
Sweetie.
I got another one over here, and there's two more in the back. We got cats, four dogs, two cats. Can you believe that?
Wow.
We're all about it. Okay.
That's great.
Well, I would say most of the people that would have started this interview would have been like, boy, what's Eric getting himself into? But I was just curious. I just wanted to hear exactly where you were coming from. I thought that was fair to do that. And I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did it. I can't say that I'm going to, do anything about it. I don't feel, I don't feel compelled to do that right now, but I wanted to at least hear it from you to hear exactly what is going on here, you know?
Well, I would say you've already done something. I mean, simply giving this opportunity to have an in-depth discussion is really helpful. I think it's probably answering a lot of questions that people have. And our hope is that people will listen to these interviews and maybe they, you know, like you said, maybe they don't immediately take action, but at least it'll make them more skeptical next time a government official says we need to bail out this industry or something.
DirectActionEverywhere.com, and all the information will be in the links of the interview if people want to check out and see for themselves and talk to you and do whatever they want to do. So there you go. I thank you guys so much for spending time. Okay.
All right.
All right. Have a good week.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.